Morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good morning so far. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm. We're going to do chapter 6 today. So if you're there, Psalm chapter 6. Let's read this. O Lord, do not rebuke me in thine anger, nor chasten me in thy wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of thy loving kindness, for there is no mention of thee in death. In Sheol, who will give thee thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They shall suddenly be ashamed. Amen. So Psalm chapter 6 particularly, it was an old theologian called Cassiodorus, and he called these, he called them the first of what they call the seven penitential psalms. These were songs of confession, songs of humility before God. In the early church, actually, it was quite the custom to particularly sing these psalms on Ash Wednesday, which is, you know, it's 40 days before Resurrection Sunday, and it was very very common for them to do that. So if you get an idea, and it's not all in order. But the other ones, according to Cassiodorus, was Psalm 31, Psalm 37, Psalm 50, Psalm 101, Psalm 129, and 142. And so he just labeled, he put these all together, and they were the confession songs. And like I said, it would be sung on every Ash Wednesday. Okay, so that's kind of the background. This is a kind of a special psalm. This is really David's prayer for mercy or loving kindness, the Hesed, especially in times of trouble. And it's for the choir director. It's meant to be, this particular one is meant to be played with an 8-string lyre. And so that was the way that we should have they would have sung this in the Old Testament. And so let's just break it down. Let's just go forward just verse by verse and just pick up some things that we can meditate on. He says in verse 1, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Now, we don't really know exactly what the occasion for was of this song, but we do know that it's because of his sin. Like David did something, he sinned, most likely, especially towards the end of the psalm, we can see that he was committing sin with some people. Like there were people that were helping him to commit sin or something like that. We can see that in verse 8, it says, depart from me all who do iniquity. And so he was sinning with some people. He sensed that because of his sin, he was under a great rebuke of God. And so yes, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. And therefore, he really called out to God to lighten the chastisement or lighten the load during this time. Now, sometimes, and we have to, think clearly about this, sometimes, when we believe we are being rebuked or chastised by God, actually, it's really we who bring our own trouble upon ourselves. And so we got to kind of be aware of that. You know, when I see, every once in a while, I'll pray for somebody and it'd be like, oh, I'm in a terrible mess. You know, God put me in this position, blah, blah, blah. And then when you actually hear the story, sometimes I just stop them. I says, you know, actually, you put yourself in this situation. I mean, you know, you're the one who went and got drunk, and, you know, you're the one who, you know, did this and that. And so I think you're giving this credit to God that actually doesn't belong to him. But in this case, in Psalm 6, because of David's sin, he was under this rebuke of God. I should correct that. He was under the rebuke of God, but primarily it was because of his own sin. But at least he's owning up to this in this way. And he says, Lord, do not rebuke me in thy anger, nor chastise me in thy wrath. Now, we know, and this is, we kind of have to make a distinction here between, I guess, BC and after Christ, before Christ, after Christ. Because we understand because of what Jesus did. I mean, that's why the finished work of Jesus on the cross is such a pivotal moment in history, because everything changes, and the world changes from that point. And because now we live on the finished work of Jesus. Now remember, David is before Christ, and so he has a lot less certainty about his standing with God. But on the other side of the cross where we live, we know that the anger of God toward the believer was poured out on Jesus at the cross. God chastens the believer out of a correcting love, not so much out of anger anymore. And so remember, his anger, his grief, all that was placed on Jesus on the cross. And so when we read particularly the Psalms and the Old Testament, we have to always have that picture in the background. And David, he's writing this and he's singing this because he didn't understand his standing before the Lord or before God in this way. We understand our standing. We are passed over from judgment. It's really the beauty of the gospel message. And it changes our perspective. And it should change the perspective when we read in the Old Testament. And so we can see, as we can look, and Paul will mention this, that, you know, the Old Testament, the law was heavy. It was burdensome. It was impossible. And David is in this place feeling the weight of that. As New Testament believers, we don't have to feel the weight of that because Jesus Christ carried that weight for us on the cross. And when we look at chastising or these type of things from the Lord, or even rebuke, we know that, and this is, you have to be very clear, we know that it's not a mark of his wrath, but it's actually a mark of his adoption. Remember, Hebrews tells us very clearly that his discipline or his chastising or his rebuking is evidence of our adoption, because we are sons, because we have been adopted by God. And it's a very different way of looking at it. But again, the cross is the centerpiece where we begin to really understand this. And then verse 2, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed and my soul is greatly dismayed." And David knew the trial, and probably what's happening to him and what's causing him to cry out is something's happening to his body. And so he's pining away. His bones, he says, are dismayed. And so there was probably something of physical weakness and pain that was happening through him, and he was basically crying out for mercy. In this same way, he's talking about his soul is also dismayed. So he's talking about physical body, and then his soul. The David also knew the trials of spiritual weakness and pain, and this again drove him to seek the mercy of God. And so we see that David is very much like Job that we just read before. that it wasn't so much the physical pain and all these things, but it was the spiritual pain, the separation with God that was really haunting him more than anything else. So we could see that David is speaking very similarly on the same lines there. And then he asks the question at the end of verse 3, how long? David sensed that he was under the discipline of God, but he still knew to ask God to shorten the trial. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Even though we may come to realize, yes, I am deserving of what's happening to me right now because of what I've done. But it's okay. But it's at the same time, there's a God who wants us to ask him, to shorten the trial. You know, I mean, there is good, like, humble resignation to the discipline. But God also wants us to ask him. He wants us to really seek him, to get things right with him. And so hopefully that the trials would be shortened, or whatever the chastisement or the discipline that's happening is going to be shortened. And like I said, you know, in the New Testament, you know, what we experience on this side of the cross is really that Jesus Christ took the chastisement. He took our pain. He took our wrath upon himself. And so we have a clear access to God in this way. Verse 4 starts kind of a new set of thought. He says, "Return to me, O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness." And in his agony, David cries out to God, not really out of his own righteousness, but because, and we are introduced yet again to this word, his loving kindness, the hesed, mercy, really translated more as grace. You know, this word loving kindness actually didn't exist in the English language. And so they actually invented this word, created this word loving kindness. The Jewish idea of hesed, of receiving something that you don't deserve, is really the Old Testament idea of the New Testament grace. And so he cries out to God because he knew that God was rich in mercy. The plea that he says, "Return, O Lord, to me," also shows that David felt distant from God. This is part of the agony that he's going through. You know, the reality is, when we sense that God is near us, man, we feel like we can face anything, right? But when we sense that he's distant from us, and we feel weak, even in the midst of the smallest trial, and we see this. And so he says, "Save me because of thy loving kindness." David's really appealing to the mercy and the grace of God for deliverance. And he recognized that he did not deserve this, but it was this free gift that was offered. And then verse 5 is very interesting. And this is kind of summary a lot of the Old Testament idea of the afterlife. And verse 5 says, "For there is no mention of thee in death. In Sheol, who will give thee thanks?" And no mention is maybe translated better as there is no remembrance of thee. These thoughts are really kind of indicative of Old Testament idea. Now, it'd be wrong to take these words, these agonized words of David, as evidence that there's no life beyond this life. We clearly know that there is. But the Old Testament primarily has a very unclear, very like shadowy understanding of the world beyond. Sometimes, like in Job, it shows clear confidence and conscience. And sometimes there's this uncertainty that David shows here. Now, interesting, again, you know, going to a New Testament idea, in 2 Timothy 2:10, let me just read this for you. I have it up here. 2 Timothy 2:10, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, in the Old Testament, the afterlife was really murky. They didn't really have a clear understanding of all these things. But Jesus let us know more about heaven and hell than anyone else could. And the reality is Jesus could do this because he had firsthand knowledge of the world beyond. This is quite a beautiful thought that Jesus reveals what heaven is like. He tells the thief, today you shall be with me in paradise. He says that that he's preparing rooms in the Father's house, in his mansion, and that he's making a place for us there. And so, you know, we have this eternal dwelling with God. And it's such an amazing thought. He talks about Lazarus and the publican, and then he descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead, and so he's very aware. So there's not that much haziness as there was in the Old Testament, and so a lot of what David is saying is really kind of a major Old Testament motif. Is that afterlife? Who knows? We don't exactly know exactly what goes on, you know, but thank God for Jesus who lets us in on all these things. And then in verse 6, it says, I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. And God's chastising hand was heavy upon David at this time. And his life seemed to be nothing but tears and miseries. And David's ordeal really had three main components. One was David felt God was angry with him. Two, David lacked a sense of God's presence. And three, David couldn't sleep. And this is part of the chastising. And so he says, every night I make my bed swim. And so remember, this is a book of poetry. And so we're not meant to read this literally, as some people do, unfortunately. And so this is a good example of poetic exaggeration in this way. David, obviously, he didn't want us to believe that he actually, you know, slept in a pool of tears in his room. But we have to understand it in the literary context, and that's the context. This is a book of poetry, and so there's a lot of exaggeration and hyperbole and these type of things that take place. And so that's what's happening here. But something, he can't sleep. He's crying a lot. We can see that in verse 7, he says, my eyes have wasted away. David's eyes were red and sore from all the tears and lack of sleep. He wasn't getting any rest. But it ends triumphantly. Typical theme. David just pouring out his heart to God, sometimes saying nonsense, doesn't make sense sometimes, but he pours out, and then there's always victory and triumph at the end, usually in this way. And then in verse 8, we see his triumphant. He says, depart from me, all who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And he says, all you guys that are causing me to sin or whatever, get away from me. The Lord, he's answered my prayers. He's answered me through my weeping. And like I said, it may be the sin that led Jesus, led David into this chastisement, primarily his association with ungodly people. So we see that David, in the correct change of heart, he says, okay, get away from me. Right, you know, bad company corrupts good morals, and so he's getting rid of this. Is his change of heart? He's not just repenting in a sense that, oh, I'm sorry for what I've done, and then nothing changes, right? So we can see this is true repentance because he does 180 degrees. He gets rid of all the adversaries, his friends who led him down the bad path. You know, this ungodly association. And he gets rid of them, and he says, the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. He ends the psalm on a note of confidence. He's made his agonizing cry to God, and God heard him. Now, I don't want you to put so much stock into tears. It's not like you have to cry, you have to weep every time. But there's something about that, because there's something about our own vested emotions or feelings coming out of here. I love Spurgeon. Spurgeon called tears. He called these are our liquid prayers. And so there's prayers of words. He says these are liquid prayers and quite precious before the Lord. Just really pouring out our whole heart before God in that way. And then it closes at the end, and it says, "All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back and shall suddenly be ashamed." David knew that when God heard and answered his prayer, that it would be trouble for his enemy. And that's basically, you know, what happens here in this place. And so let's go before the Lord. Let's meditate. Prayer for mercy in time of trouble. Asking God, repenting and turning away, and asking God for healing, and asking God really for his loving kindness, his grace that we don't deserve, the hesed. And so this morning, let's operate in the same. If there's something that we've been doing and we feel convicted of, and maybe we're not sleeping well, maybe that we have a lack of the sense of God's presence, or maybe you feel that God is simply angry with you. Whatever the case that David felt these things, I want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just take care of business with him. Jesus Christ has paid the price. He took our wrath and our God's anger, and he nailed it to the cross. And he's raised from the dead so that we can walk in newness of life. And so let's do that. Let's go to Jesus, and let's go to his feet and receive the grace and that loving kindness from him. And as we sing a song, let's just meditate on the grace and the goodness of God.
And you came to my rescue. rescue and die. I wanna be with you. In my life, we lifted high in our lives. We lifted high in our lives. We lifted high in my life. We lifted in our lives. We lifted in our lives. We lifted in our lives. And I call you and say, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be with you. I call you and say, and you came to my rescue and died. I wanna be with you. I call you and say, and you came to my rescue and died. I wanna be with you.
Let's humbly go before the Lord and let's ask Him to rescue us. That's really what the gospel is, that we're rescued from a danger, that we have been rescued from peril. And it's all the cross. And so let's just really go before the cross today. That's why Paul says, I care to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The cross was the point of everything, changes everything. Let's humbly go before the cross this morning. Let's give thanks to the Lord for what He's done for us. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. let's pray for our community that are have non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission prayer. Let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. Let's cover these countries. Let's pray for God's spirit to move powerfully. Let's pray for our friends ministering there. Pray for Pastor Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin, for SP Tokyo. I know that we had a meeting with Sophia yesterday, and the cases are going up. It's the most they've had ever, actually, the other day. And so let's continue to pray over the COVID situation, and particularly its effect on SP Tokyo. Let's pray for Grace and Oasis House, Pastor Jenny, and let's just ask for God's spirit to really lead and guide and protect them as they minister. Let's cover our missions council. Let's pray for these men and women of God. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God would speak very clearly and really lead our church in our missional endeavors, particularly under the challenges of COVID. Let's cover our local outreach teams, our leaders, our volunteers, our Agape, Homie, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Some are obviously on hold because of COVID. Let's pray for their preparation, that once the doors open again, that they would go in charging. But let's pray for whatever preparation that God wants us to have right now. And let's pray for real effective ministry. Let's pray for SP fam. Let's pray for our two babies that we have right now, that God would just cover them and protect them. Let's pray for the ministry to continue to grow. Let's pray for more families to be approved by the Social Welfare Department and Mother's Choice. And let's just cover. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and GIC. Let's just pray for the anointing to really come. I know most of the meetings will be done over Zoom. Let's pray for all, for technology and everything, and all the internet and all the connections to be spot on without any interruptions, and people will really be able to focus and grow during this time. Let's pray over House Church for Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, Westside. This is the last House Church session before the winter break. Let's just pray for just the presence of God to really come and meet with each one of them. Pray their leaders and the hosts would really connect with God and connect with each other. And lastly, let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for people who are sick with COVID, that they be healed. Let's pray the cases go lower and that we would be able to come together live in person as a church soon. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, the song of confession and humility, Lord. And I pray, God, that when we do wrong at times, Lord, that we would receive your discipline, God, and it would cause us to fall on our knees to draw close to you, Lord. God, we thank you for Jesus and everything that he's done for us that makes our life accessible to you, Father. And so we bless you for that. Watch over us today. Watch over our city. God, we just want to ask for your mercy, God. Let your loving kindness, Lord, be established here. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time today. And just pray for just the loving kindness of God just to be shown in your hearts and in your lives. Okay. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.